Thank you for Calvary, how you sent your Son and He gave His life for us, that we might have eternal life with you and get to know you and your precious Son. Father, we just thank you for this service tonight and all that have come out to hear your word. We pray your blessings upon the minister, our Pastor Howard, that you would give him strength through your Holy Spirit to give us the words that you desire, and that we could take them home and be obedient to Christ and show our love for one another, that the world may know that Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In His name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Okay, it's good to see you here tonight. I want to welcome you. And this is Palm Sunday. And here we are again, Sunday evening. It's good to be here together. And so I do want to welcome each one of you that are here in the building. And we also want to welcome those that might be joining us online. Thank you for doing that. I know my daughter is sick today. She's at home with my wife with a sore throat. So hello there, Lillian and Jenny. Trust that you're watching with us tonight. So thanks for joining us. For our announcements here, I'll share those again, and we will take a few moments for testimonies. So please think of something that you might want to share with a group here, and just an answer to prayer, a blessing, or a passage of Scripture, and we'll take some time there in a few moments. But Wednesdays, again, we're going through the Quieting a Noisy Soul program through April, and we will be meeting this Wednesday night. The Wednesday after Easter, we are going to take a break, spring break. So just take note of that. And then this Friday, we're having a Good Friday service. And so plan on that. Plan on being here if you can, or joining us online. But that will be Friday at 7 p.m. And our speaker is going to be missionary Daniel Bill. He was here back in September. And he's back in the area again, kind of in the Midwest area right now, and staying at camp for 10 days, actually. And so he's going to be here with us. And he's on his way to Honduras. And yes, last time he was here, he is related to Gary Bill. So this is that guy, and this is his nephew, his Gary Bill's brother's son. But didn't realize that until he was here last time, and I just assumed that, you know, surely he couldn't possibly be related to Gary Bill. But sure enough, yeah, he was. And so that's who that is. And so he's planning to be here preaching for the Good Friday service. He and his wife are going to also minister in music that night. And then also for our Easter Sunday morning service, they'll also be ministering in special music. And then we're having our Easter sunrise breakfast, and I think everything's accounted for. Is that right? Okay. On our sign-up sheet there, so just remember to bring it. And if you can, bring it on Good Friday. That way it's here at the church and ready to go to be utilized on Easter Sunday morning. So our sunrise service, again, is going to be at 7 a.m. at the Bloomfield Cemetery. And so hope you can join us then. Should be just before sunrise. We'll meet there in the middle grassy area there by the flagpole at the Bloomfield Cemetery. And we will spend some time there and in worship, praise to the Lord. And then we'll come down here to the church for breakfast and plan to have some fellowship here. And then for Sunday school, Daniel Bill is going to be sharing again about his missionary plans. He shared a little bit about that when he was here with us in September. It was just a Sunday night. He has another presentation that he's going to share with us for Sunday school. And so plan on that. We will plan to receive a love offering for them just to help them on their way as they're here. And then looking ahead to April, Saturday, April 23rd is our camp cleanup day. And again, we plan to get the rec hall at Pinal Bible Camp ready. That's usually what we do, although we didn't do it last year because of COVID and uncertainties there. But we are planning to do that this year to meet there at camp, Pinal Bible Camp. Well, I think we usually meet at 9 a.m. And so spend a few hours there. Helping it to clean up. The deadline for early registration there at camp has been extended to May 1st, so have another month to register early, and so to take note of that. Did want to mention also in May, May the 8th, the ladies are planning a ladies and girls brunch here at the church, I believe. I think it's at the church. And so just put that on your calendar, ladies and girls. There will be, Lord willing, a brunch. There will be a special speaker. Her name is Natalie Perkins. She's a wife of a missionary, another missionary that's going to be in the area, headed to Papua New Guinea, the Perkins family. And so she is planning to be with the ladies as the speaker there. And so just wanted to mention that. Again, thanks to everybody that came out yesterday for the workday. We got a lot that was accomplished, and we had a good group that was working, and a beautiful day. Things that were done there outside and inside here as well. I appreciate the ladies doing a good thorough cleaning. I know there was a crew down in the basement and some people up here. No, the windows were all cleaned, the blinds, that's always something they do, polish the pews and do some organizing in the closets and things like that. And then, again, we thank those who came. We got the gutters cleaned out, the downspouts, those are always filling up with leaves, and so that can create problems with the water that comes, but we did get them cleaned out, at least for the moment, thanks to Scott Lanham's bucket truck. He drove that down, and that was a real, that's the way to do it, to clean out the gutters here, the downspouts. And then we did some work inside here. I've noticed the projector is mounted on the ceiling. How'd that get there? We had some people that went up in the attic. Again, Scott and Pastor Gossman, they, of their own accord, they just volunteered and they went up there. And the little tiny hole over here in this back entrance, but they were able to fit up. And Pastor Gossman said he wasn't sure if he'd ever go up there again, but he did it again. And he's able to know where all the power lines are up there and just, you know, have that understanding of the ceiling or the attic. And so we had to run some power up there to power that projector. And then run a line back here to the back to the computer, and then maybe the next phase is to run another line up here somewhere so that if someone's giving a presentation from up front, they can connect to it from up here as well. And so that's what we hope to do here still in the future. We'd probably have to go up in the attic again. So any volunteers, do that again. I'd appreciate that. And Norm's ladder as well. We were able to use two of his ladders, his tall 10-foot step ladder and then his extension ladder over here to get up there. So we got a few things accomplished yesterday. All right. Well, we'll open it up for testimonies here tonight. So would anybody have a testimony you'd like to share? Yes, Norm. Okay, Norm talked to his nephew. Was that Brian? Okay, Brian Pierce, he had the brain aneurysm. He is back to work. So, praise that.
Don't like duty, but for another 3 or 4 weeks. Everything's passed okay, then he's back to regular duty.
Okay, so praise that he's back to work on light duty, but he's a police officer?
Police officer at Cleveland Clinic.
Okay, at Cleveland Clinic. So, that's a praise. Praying for him, and he's doing better. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, Mr. Margrave.
I was thinking about back to his family and her mom's state. And I'm very, very privileged to be in their family.
Thank you for sharing that. We were praying for the family there as Shirley's sister had passed earlier this week. And the funeral was it Friday or Saturday?
They have services Friday night and then the actual funeral Saturday.
Okay. So services Friday night and then actual funeral was yesterday. And so, yes. Okay, and so be in prayer for it's Loretta, it's the sister that's still living there, and then Shirley, as their siblings passed very, very close to each other here with Mac, and then Dolores here earlier this week, and so just pray for the family there. Okay. Anyone else tonight? Mrs. Gossman.
I'd like to thank the Lord for the opportunity to witness that the Lord is like kind of dropped into our love. And there's some here that we're praying for me today. After, with the snowstorm, Marvin cleared drives, and we got a thank you note from one of the neighbors down the way that we've had some contact with. And in the thank you note, she said she wanted to get together for Bible study with me. I left her a Foundations 1 Bible study, and we were supposed to meet today at 2:30. We were sitting at the dinner table, and she called me and said, I just don't think we can, she says, I did just study, and I just don't think that this is going to work for us. Well, she has a Seventh-day Adventist background, which we have discussed in the past, and I knew she had a problem with law, she had a problem with First Sunday, and hell. And she'd gotten halfway through the study to hell, and she says, no, I'm not doing that. And I let her talk on the phone, and then I reminded her that it was her desire to study God's Word. And that she told me she felt God had brought me into her life to do that. And so, with those reminders, she says, well, this is not, can I come? She says, yes, come. So, we had a good study together. She's a woman who has searched all her life to know the truth of God's Word. Sure. I mean, she literally has a Bible that is worn out, marked all the way through, but she has been steeped in the Advent teaching. And so it was exciting to be able to be able to explain why the law was not valid for our salvation. We got up to the point of where we came to hell, and she says, well, we need to stop now. And we, I don't even know now, so it's okay. But she says, I'm gonna work at this again with a new perspective. And I gave her some other scriptures to help her in her studying. And so she has the second half. I said, it just gets better. You know, you have to go through this, but it's going to get better. And so I just pray for her salvation. And she truly, I'm sure she would consider herself a Christian, but that she truly comes to the Lord.
Amen. Good to hear that witnessing opportunity. It's a neighbor or down the road? Okay. The Bible study here this afternoon, and so we'll pray for her. Are we allowed to know her name, or should we?
I don't want it public. I don't want
okay. It. All right, so let's pray for a neighbor, and the Lord knows. All right. Okay, anybody else tonight? Anybody else? A testimony or anything you'd like to share tonight? All right. I wanted to read a report from our missionary here from the Kilmers. And it says, dear friends, the last months have been busy, and it's been good to serve the Lord. There were blessings and challenges. The challenges came in the form of unexpected expenses. There was some major work done to our car that didn't actually fix the problem. Now, the Kilmers are in South Africa, just to remind you of that. And he talks here about being robbed there. He said, our school students here all wear uniforms. I was in town getting school clothes for some students in our church when four guys grabbed me and stole the cell phone I had waited 3 years to get, which I had for less than 2 months. It was in my front pocket. It was a disappointment, but there are things to be thankful for. Number one, they didn't have any weapons, and I wasn't hurt. Number two, they didn't get my wallet and car key. Number three, a lesson was learned about using help to the fullest. Due to being in a bad area of the town, the shop owner had a security guard accompany me. When we were almost at the car and there were only a few people around, I told him it was okay to go back. He turned back and a few young men scattered here and there suddenly joined together and grabbed me. I shouted for the security guard and he returned, making the guys flee. The security chap said I put up a good fight, but I couldn't fight off four guys while holding bags of clothes in my hands. It is funny what goes through your mind when you're being attacked. I first looked for weapons and, not seeing any, tried to fight the criminals off. However, they had my arms pinned down. This clearly wasn't their first time to rob someone. Then I foolishly clung to the bags of clothing as I thought that was what they were after. The clothing wasn't worth half of what my cell phone was. As I was shouting for the security guy, the judo I learned in college came to me. I tried to move, but being held by two guys while two more were going through my pockets kept me from successfully being able to get rid of the four thieves. Unfortunately, no one got a video of all of this. Thankfully, the security man returned and they only got my cell phone. Probably the most important reminder and test was to keep my hope in the Lord and not in earthly things. Yes, earthly things can be helpful when serving the Lord, but we must seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first. Our hope must never be in things. There have been wonderful blessings as our opportunities continue. The megaphone ministry is better than ever with the new megaphone. It is more powerful and clearer than the old one. The last time I wrote, we were under a strict lockdown, but things have eased up and we have resumed church services in person. We also had a baptismal service. A man named Peace was baptized and invited some relatives who are not saved. Some of his family members who came to the baptism have returned to church. We are thankful for the testimony of his changed life. And he gives some praises here. Number one, for physical protection, even when in trouble. For a dear brother who followed the Lord in believers' baptism. For the use of a new megaphone. For the blessing of teaching classes once again at the Bible Institute. Karen made good use of the sewing machines that were brought for training the ladies. We are now getting international mail again and are currently receiving letters that were sent in November. And then some prayer requests for our Good Friday service on the first Friday in April, for the Lord to draw people to the service and, most importantly, to draw them to Himself. And then you ask for prayer. Please pray for us at 11:11 as well as at your regular prayer times. May God's grace keep you strong for Him. Uncle Don and Auntie Karen Kilmer. All right, so just pray for the Kilmers. South Africa is known for crime, I believe, at least the area, some of the areas where they are. I know the Gospels have been there to visit, and I think have experienced some of that maybe, or seen some of it. But it does happen frequently. So pray for safety for them. All right, anything else tonight? The other testimonies or prayer requests? Yes.
I read that letter and I mentioned the prayer this morning in Sunday school, but just I really appreciated the Kilmer ministry as we've experienced him, his boldness for his witness. When we were there, that was very evident. Love for the Zulu people. It's a very poor area. He was, and this is what the church was when we were there. It was called the Valley of a Thousand Hills. But he was up on top, and all these houses down in the valley, the bullhorn he mentioned there, he would stand up and preach it, and people will listen to the messenger that he preaches. Speaking of safety, we went into one of the towns with him, and Mrs. Kilmer sitting there, and we're in the back seat, and she warned us that you make sure your doors are locked. And we're coming up to a stop sign, and she goes, and I realized, I didn't lock my door, because she said you always lock your door, and when you can stop at a stop sign, they'll open the door and then
invite anyone else? Anybody else tonight? All right, well, let's have our next hymn here.
Turn to 228, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, and Let's Stand. Hymn number 228, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
Special thanks to Isaac and Ben tonight. Isaac for playing the piano. Ben for leading. Appreciate that. I invite you to take your Bible, turn to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. We're continuing on here in Judges. And this chapter goes right along with the chapter we looked at 2 weeks ago, chapter 4, which was about Deborah and Barak and Jael and how God used them as his instruments. And chapter 5 is a song, actually. It's a song that we're going to consider here. I won't try to sing it tonight, but it is a song. It's 31 verses long. I'm going to begin by sharing something from this book that I'm reading. It's a biography of Arthur Pink, and I've shared some about this, but Arthur Pink was a preacher. He was born in 1886 and in Britain, and he ministered in a lot of different places, and he was a pastor of some small churches in the United States. He ministered in some of the tent revivals of the early part of the 20th century in California. There were these evangelists that would go along and preach in these tents, and hundreds, thousands of people even would come out for long periods of time, night after night. And Arthur Pink was a guy who worked with some of these evangelists and came along and provided some more teaching that was a little bit more in depth for some of these crowds. And then he pastored also in small churches, and then eventually ended up in Australia, ministered there for a while, and came back to the United States. And his wife was from Kentucky. He was a British man, but he married a woman from Kentucky. And they were going to head back to his hometown there in Kentucky, a small country town of Morton's Gap. And they hoped that they were going to settle there in Morton's Gap after they had ministered in Australia for some time. And the biographer, who's Ian Murray, this is the book that he's written on Pink, Arthur Pink. And it talks about how they sailed back from Australia and came back into New York. And they were talking to the immigration officer. And there in New York, the immigration officer was interviewing them. And he said, he inquired if we intend to pursue our calling as a minister of the gospel. And he said, to which we replied, yes, by the grace of God. And then the immigration officer said, are you coming here to mend broken souls? And Pink said, no, sir. He was a particular kind of thinker and, you know, qualifying things. He said, no, sir. Instead, as an instrument in the Lord's hands to bring life to those who are dead in sin. And you know, he wanted to say it in that way, just an instrument of the Lord to bring life to those who are dead in sin. And the immigration officer, he smiled and he said, attaboy, that's the talk. You know, whatever he said, he was pleased by that. It sounded good. But anyway, Pink, of course, he wasn't a perfect man. He wasn't. There are some things about his life you kind of wonder about. But he saw himself as an instrument in the Lord's hands. And if you remember from 2 weeks ago, that's the very lesson that we learned from Deborah and Barak in chapter 4. We saw the preparation of God's instruments. Deborah herself was an instrument of preparation. She was used by God to prepare another man, that was Barak. And Barak was an instrument that needed preparation. You remember his response to God's word? He was hesitant. He wasn't sure that he wanted to do that. And then we saw the preparation of Jael. She was an instrument that received preparation. We saw how the Lord moved her and her family to the very place where this battle took place. And then we saw the use of God's instruments. Deborah encourages Barak to fight. Barak, he does come around, and then he rounds up the soldiers of Israel, pursues the enemy. And then we saw how Jael gives this Canaanite general some hospitality in her tent. She ends up giving him some milk, and he falls asleep there. And then she nails him. She drives that tent peg right through his temples, and he dies. Enemy of God and his people was defeated there. And we saw last time how God uses instruments instead of doing things just directly and immediately. God oftentimes uses instruments, people, because it actually highlights God's power. You know, when God uses an instrument that is weak and oftentimes failing, as we see in the Judges, book of Judges, we see that it actually magnifies God and glorifies God. It shows us that God is not limited by anything. God ultimately gets the glory. And as we come here to chapter 5, we see that Deborah and Barak recognize that. They didn't come away from this battle thinking, wow, look at what we did. Look at the great things that that we did in rounding up all these soldiers and in what Jael did in killing, assassinating the enemy general. No, in fact, we see that this entire chapter shows that they recognize that all the praise and glory belong to God. And in fact, what this is a song of praise that is given to God for the victory that God had granted. It seems that Deborah is the one who actually wrote this song, but we see that both Deborah and Barak are involved in singing it. They are leading Israel in this song of praise. They perhaps sang a duet, I don't know. But we're told that both of them sing it. But you notice here, if Deborah is the one that has written it, we see that her confidence in God is very strong. The song shows us, I think, what was in Deborah's heart. It was not that she wanted to just show everybody what she was able to do as a woman. It was rather that she wanted God to be exalted for what was done. That was the focus of her heart. That was the confidence that she had. And so, I'm not going to cover every verse here in this song tonight, but we'll survey the song and notice the reasons that she gives for praising the Lord as she and Barak sing this song. Well, notice the first 8 verses here. Look with me, please, Judges chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. There was a shield or spear. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? So notice, first of all, here, a reason for praise. We see that Deborah and Barak praise God for the deliverance from bondage and oppression. They praise God here in this psalm. They praise God for deliverance from bondage and oppression. Deborah sings about some of the problems that had come about in Israel before this time of deliverance. And we remember that that's really the pattern in Judges. The people of Israel begin to turn away from the Lord, and God allows them to go into bondage to their enemies, and then there's a turning to the Lord, coming back to Him, a repentance, and then the Lord has mercy. The Lord raises up a judge, usually, and oftentimes a military leader, and goes in and delivers. But Deborah sings about some of the bondage that they experience. You notice verse 6 seems to be talking about the travel in Israel was affected. It says, the highways were unoccupied. The travelers walked through byways. Evidently, people feared even to go out and to travel. They didn't think they could do that because of the enemies and what might happen. Seems also that the economy was affected. In verse 7, it talks about the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. The living conditions there. Justice was also affected. Verse 8, it says, then was war in the gates. Remember in the Bible, in Bible times, the gates of a city was where the courts were held. It was where justice was transacted. And Deborah looks back on the times before this victory, and she says, there was war in the gates. There was war in those places where justice should be. And then notice the condition of the weapons. There was no weapons in Israel, even. Verse 8 again, was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? And she looks back to that time and she thinks about the lack of weapons. Was there a shield or spear among 40,000? You know, maybe I don't know what happened, but you know, maybe they weren't supporting the Second Amendment rights anymore in Israel. I don't know, but somehow the enemies were going in and saying maybe you can't have the weapons anymore, and no one seemed to have any weapons. And Deborah is just singing about this condition before God gave the deliverance. But then she also sings about the cause of this bondage and oppression. Verse 8, they chose new gods. They chose new gods. And that was the pattern. Their sin, their idolatry, led them into bondage. Deborah is praising God at this point for the deliverance from that. God had already given the victory, and she is remembering the misery that Israel had gone through in this last cycle and all that had been affected there. And she's praising God that they're now delivered from that, delivered from the bondage and oppression. And then as we read on here in this song, we see another reason for praise in this song. Praise God for participation of God's people. Praise God for the participation of God's people. And if you jump down here to verses 14 through 19, we find that it was not only Deborah and Barak that were leading the battle. There was also a number of other tribes that were involved. And Deborah is thinking back on all the people, and she tells us about the tribes that had helped. Verse 14, out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people, out of Machir came down governors. Machir is the firstborn son of Manasseh, a tribe of Manasseh. Sometimes their sons represent the tribes. Machir goes along with Manasseh. And out of Machir came down governors. Out of Zebulun, they that handle the pen of the writer. Evidently, some out of the tribe of Zebulun were more literary in their gifts. They that handled the pen of the writer, maybe, newspaper writers, I don't know, reporters. That was their skill. But yet they came down and they responded to this call to go and help against this enemy here. And then verse 15, the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. So we have some of the tribes that helped. And then she also sings about some of the tribes that did not help. In verses 16 and 17 especially, those are listed. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breaches. There were tribes that didn't help as well. The ones that did not help in the battle seemed to be motivated by perhaps their business interests. It says that Dan remained in ships. Asher continued by the seashore and abode in his breaches. That word refers to the coves, the inlets, the landing places of the sea. And she's singing about that tribe. They just went about business as usual. There was a crisis, and yet some of these tribes just said, no, we're just going to continue to do what we're doing. And if you jump down to verse 23, there's another area that's singled out for not helping. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. This Meroz may have been a city that could have been of great help in the time of battle. Perhaps their location was very strategic, and they could have stepped up to the challenge. But for whatever reason, they said, no, we can't do it. And God evidently considered that to be a very serious thing, that they did not help. So Deborah is praising the Lord for the participation of God's people. course, even when people are willing to serve and participate, we certainly thank people for their involvement in God's work and serving the Lord. But ultimately, we need to do what Deborah is doing here, and Barak. She's thanking God. She's praising God for the participation of God's people. And then it also highlights the trouble that sometimes God's people have. Participation in God's work often requires us to trust God to take care of lost time and effort. You know, some of these tribes that didn't help out, what was going through their minds? It seems perhaps they were thinking, who's going to take care of our day-to-day business operations? Who's going to take care of this shipping operation that Dan is involved in? And the sheep, taking care of the sheep and these flocks. Oftentimes, there needs to be a trust. Participation requires us to trust God to take care of what it seems like we might lose in time and effort. Seems to have been some of these tribes didn't think it was worth it to give up that time. And that really is a sacrifice we have to come to grips with many times. You know, this is going to demand some time, and it seems like I'm going to miss out, and it's not going to be the same. Well, we have to leave that to God and trust God to deal with that. She praises God. Praises God for the participation of God's people. She praises God for deliverance from bondage and oppression. There was a time in Israel when things just were at a very low point. But God gave His deliverance. And then we see a third reason for praising God, and that is for His power over creation. See, this song involves praising God for His power over creation. Verse 20. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. How are the stars involved in battle? I don't know if I have the answer to that question. Perhaps there were something that fell from the sky. Hailstones that came in the midst of this battle. I don't know. In some way, Deborah was able to say that the stars fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. And then the river Kishon, verse 21, the river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon, O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hooves broken by means of the prancings of their mighty ones. He's talking about God's power over creation here. Power over the stars, power over the storm. It seems in the depiction here in this song, there was actually a storm that came in the time of this battle. Deborah encouraged Barak. Barak went out. He rounded up the troops and they pursued after the Canaanites. And it seems that God sent a storm at this time. There was rain that came, and the river Kishon flooded. It says, verse 22, then were the horse hooves broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. That word prancings is just referring to the dashing and galloping of a horse. And it seems from the description here that there was this storm, perhaps a lot of rain, there was flooding. And you remember that the Canaanites had these chariots. And the Israelites, they didn't have that. How are they going to have the victory over these chariots? Answer, God sent a storm. And when there's storm and all that rain turns to mud. And what good are the chariots in the mud? And here you can just imagine the prancings, the galloping of these horses, and the chariots are stuck. And God had sent that. It only takes a little bit, you know. A couple of weeks ago, I got stuck in some mud. There was a little bit of mud, a little bit of ice, and only one of my wheels was off into the side of this driveway, and the other wheel was on ice, and, you know, I was stuck. And it took me, 10, 15, 20 minutes to try to maneuver out of that. And I think it was something like that in this battle. There was a storm. And all these chariots were just worthless. And then we see that God also was demonstrating His power over other gods. One thing we know about the Canaanite god Baal was that he was considered to be the lord of the storm. He was considered to be the lord of human fertility and prosperity. And it seems that that's one of the reasons why time and time again the Israelites were falling into Baal worship. Because it was thought to be the source of the security of the people there. They got their security from worshiping Baal. If they worshiped Baal, things would be okay. He would take care of the weather. He would take care of the prosperity of their crops and everything. And yet, in a situation like this, we see that God's power over creation, in reality, was showing that He was in control and He could do more than anything that Baal could supposedly do. You know, the Baals of our day are not quite the same as they were in the days of the judges, but I think that there probably are some parallels in different ways to the idolatry of the Canaanites and the idolatry of our world today. You know, the world has its sources of security. The world has the things that it does to feel good, to feel that everything is okay. And we need to come to the place where we recognize that God is our source of security. And no matter what happens, we need to look to God. And not the things that the world looks to. And that's what Israel had to learn again and again. God is in control of His creation. And that includes us. That includes people. God made us. And God controls us. That includes our health. That includes the seeming inconveniences sometimes that might be caused by the weather. God controls all that. We need to praise Him because of His power over creation. We know that He is in charge. And, we're still in a point in time here. We can see all kinds of different weather, right? And we don't know if we're quite out of the snow season yet, but the Lord is able to do whatever He wants when it comes to the weather, whether it be rain or snow or sleet or wind. Saw some wind this week. Didn't see it, but we saw the effects of it. And the Lord is directing that. The Lord is in control of His creation. And we need to praise God for His power over the creation. And then a final reason here for praise that we see Deborah singing about, Deborah and Barak, they sing about praising God for the defeat of God's enemies. And we see that in verse 24 where they sing about what Jael did. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. In the tent. He asked water and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots?" The wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned answer to herself, "Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of divers colors, a prey of divers colors of needlework, of divers colors of needlework on both sides, meet for the necks of them that take the spoil." That's kind of a taunt to Sisera's mother. Sisera was the guy who got the tent peg through his temples. And you say that's kind of an odd thing to talk about. thinking about things from the perspective of Sisera's mother. But remember that Deborah is the one writing the song. And she is a mother in Israel, she says. And so perhaps that's one of the things that is on her mind. What is Sisera's mother thinking about? And how are things going down there? And so she's picturing that and thinking about the things that Sisera's mother and her friends are talking about, trying to console themselves with. But the reality is that Sisera is dead. But she's praising God for the defeat of God's enemies. And then we have this final prayer for all the enemies of God. In verse 31, "So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord." Let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. She's praying for the defeat of all God's enemies. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. But here we see that we are to pray against God's enemies. And that's what she's doing. That's what Deborah's doing. She's praying for the defeat of all God's enemies. And she prays for the growth of all God's friends. "But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might." She's thinking about the sun rising. And as that sun rises, of course, the light is displayed brighter and brighter. And the darkness becomes less and less as the sun comes up. And that's what she wants for all of God's friends, those that love God. She's praying here that they would increase, that they would grow, that the light from them would increase and displace the darkness in their influence. There's a parallel, I think, with Proverbs 4:18 that says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And that's what Deborah is praying for. So we see in the account here of Deborah and Barak in this psalm that God is faithful to deliver when his people put their faith in him, and also that God can use whatever he wants and whoever he wants to be instruments of his deliverance. And we might think they're pretty unlikely. Why would God want to use a woman like Deborah, or a man like Barak, or a woman like Jael? Those seem like unlikely instruments. But God chooses to do that. Why? So that he gets the glory. God uses those instruments for the praise of his glory. And Deborah and Barak realize that. And we know that because of this chapter 5, where they step back and all they're doing is they're praising God because of what he did. You know, they weren't rejoicing in what they did. All they were doing was saying, Lord, it was all you. You did it all. And we praise you because of what you did. That's what this song is about. Praising God so that he gets the glory that he deserves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do choose to use us as your instruments. That's what we desire to be. So that your grace could work through us, and so that people would see more and more of you, less of us. And we thank you, Lord, for these people that you used. You chose to record their song here that we might learn to praise you for these same things. We pray that your praise and your glory would be more and more a part of our lives, and that we would see all that you're doing. We would give you the glory for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing in closing a song of praise to the Lord, the doxology. So let's all stand and we'll sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here. praise Him. You. We're dismissed.